So let's just start this off real quick. Like, did Sabo, like, what did Sabo do?
Sabo hurt me a lot. Like, it was just, I was having a really stressful week at work. And, like, I realized, like, you shouldn't, like, get on the internet or tweet or things like that when you're angry.
Yeah.
And, like, the problem is, so, like, you've now become a content generator on the internet like every other person.
Uh-huh.
That I follow. Yeah. You're not, like, my friend. You're, like, the tweets I follow, and sometimes they're funny, sometimes they are, and I reply to them as that way sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes it's just, like, one or two liners, and it's just, like, oh. And then I realize, like, oh, he was probably being joking or sarcastic or so. Uh-huh. But, like, the Sabo tweet really, like, pissed me off when I read the Sabo facts, which is, like, I'm trying to think, like, Sabo is timid.
Yeah, Sabo cries a lot. When Sabo feels threatened, he cries or something like that and makes other people cry, too.
That's the part where I was like, fuck you, Sabo. You don't control me. But, like, there was a whole more rant to that tweet that I stopped myself where I was like, Sabo is, like, fascist.
What?
Sabo is a fascist tool of, like, the mass... Not the masses, actually. He's against the masses. Like, I got really pissed off at Sabo because I was like, so what you're telling me is Sabo is Pokemon tear gas.
I don't think that's...
Like, I'm imagining governments using Sabo and chucking them into crowds of protesters and, like, forcing all the protesters to cry. And, like, that's how they disperse crowds. And I'm like, fuck you, Sabo. I got really pissed off at that. And then, like, I realized, like, all right, this is a Pokemon game. And, like, maybe I need to step away from, like, the Twitter machine. If I'm, like, because the problem is my Twitter feed is usually half political and then half, like, wrestling and, like, video game stuff. You're the majority of the video game stuff. But, like, the political stuff pisses me off.
And then you take it out on the poor Sabo.
Yeah. I was just furious at that time at, like, Sabo was tear gas, and I don't know why my brain went to that part, but I was just like, yeah, Sabo, oh, he pretends he's all timid and bullshit and stuff, but then really he's just being used by, like, the government to, like, disperse protesters, and it's just awful.
We're getting into Pokemon conspiracy theories now. It's... like, this is like Pokemon Q. You know, Q, the conspiracy person on Twitter or whatever
for, oh, like, God. The alt-right. I had to hear, yeah, I just heard, yeah, about, like, this guy. Yeah, I didn't, like, really know him that well.
Pokemon Q is like, they're using Sabo for tear gas, man. Sabo is there just to put you down. Like, you're keeping the man. The man is using Sabo. Don't believe his sob stories, man.
They took away Grookey's gun. Like, they just want to they're taking away our rights, Grookey, man.
Grookey has the right to guns.
Yes. It's fucking Sabo. I don't even know who the third one is in this case.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Grookey and Sabo is all, yes, that matters.
Grookey is power to the people. They stripped him of his weapons, and then they control him with Sabo. That's how they get you.
Sabo tear gas. You heard it here first.
Yeah, so folks, if you ever find yourself, like, really angry and, like, furious about a Pokemon, step away from the internet. Like, that's why I apologize, because I genuinely was... I stopped myself from ranting about the Sabo thing. But, like, I believe, yeah, I called him, like, a gaslighting Pokemon.
Yeah. I was a little weird. Well, I was a little worried. Just a, yeah, little bit.
Yeah. We're not perfect people. Harvey Z is just a man sometimes. And a man that rages against the Sabo.
It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da. That's it.
Hello, everyone.
I was going to do this offline.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. As you can see, we talk about anything and everything. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in The Place to Be.
And The Place to Be is Taking Down Sabo.
This could be the plot of, like, Detective Pikachu 2.
The Secret Sabo Society.
Again, like... Yeah, I got really into it.
The SSS?
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, but Grookey is just another tool. Like, you could have the Grookey Gestapo.
I mean, Grookey runs around with a branch and, like, drumming things, so...
Oh, Again, I've never seen
you
any
pictures.
You didn't
see the Grookey facts. You just saw the Sabo facts. And you were like, ah.
Yeah, fuck you, Sabo. I won't do what you tell me.
Oh, dude. Okay. Anyway. So how... you've been having a week, huh? I've been having a week, too. Before we get into the gaming stuff, like, it's been one of those, like, high-pressure weeks. And for me, in, like, my work has not been great. On Tuesday, I did, like, a stupid. I was coming back from lunch, and I managed to fall down while going upstairs.
That happens. I mean, I've done that plenty of times as a kid.
It happens, but it gave me this sense of, like, oh, man, like, why did you do something like that to yourself? Because...
Okay, that's not where I usually go with that.
So what happened was... When I fell, like, I landed on my knees. And so, thankfully, my knees managed to keep me from spilling anything that I had brought back from lunch. But the trade-off was I banged my knees up. And because, you know, I'm at an office, I wear long pants, I've been having to put Band-Aids on my knees. And it makes me feel like a four-year-old again. Like, oh, baby, did you, like, skin your knee? Do you have a boo-boo? Here, let me put some Neosporin on it and put a Band-Aid on it.
But no one could tell. You wear pants then. My fear would be I tear my pants, but you didn't.
No, I didn't tear my pants. Yeah. It's just like that personal feeling. Like, it's like putting Band-Aids on your knees is a very, you know, like early childhood thing because that's what, you know, kids skin their knees. That's a common injury.
You're still young. Because, like, when I fall now, I'm like, oh God, am I going to break a hip? Like, I'm not that old, but that's my actual first thought.
I mean, it has made me feel old because I'm like walking around with stiff knees because I can't bend them because it was like a deep enough, it wasn't just like a little skin off, like it's a deep enough cut that like, ugh. Anyway, that's like my week has just been kind of like a series of those events.
There were more things besides
skinning? It was work stuff. Okay. It was just, yeah. You know, things pile up and skinning the knee in a work sense, you know, that sort of thing.
Like feeling like a child at work then brings up other feelings and stuff.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It was a domino effect sort of thing. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about games.
Yeah, sure. I mean, sometimes you need to get those things off your chest, I suppose. I guess you could tell them to us as well.
Yeah. But games also make me feel like a child, but in a good way. See there. See, I brought it around.
Nice save.
Yeah, there we go. So we've got a Harvey Z Snap.
Okay.
We always start off with it. I was originally going to do like Sobble and something
but it's too real.
Yeah. I can't do that anymore.
Cause I would kill Sobble right now. he's dead. I didn't even snap for anything else. I just snapped him out.
Let's see. What can I do? Give you another easy one since you seem to have had a stressful week.
No, I don't mind these. These are weirdly... They take me to a weird headspace.
I got it. Perfect. All right. So on the one hand, jorts.
Jean shorts. Yep.
On the other hand, Crocs.
Okay. This is an easy one for me. Because I think you were trying to send me two negatives, but you didn't.
Oh.
Because I don't know if you remember.
So which fashion faux pas do you enjoy?
I mean, it's not just me. It was my idol back then in college. Like... In college, like, I really like Kevin Smith movies. Kevin Smith, his old uniform was basically jorts.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you remember, but yes, I did rock the jorts for a while.
I did too. Like, I did have jorts until a female friend corrected me and was like, don't wear those. And then I stopped wearing them.
Is this female friend still in your life?
Vaguely, sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so it's... They would still know. Like, I feel like you had like, to change yourself.
It wasn't like I was trying to do it to impress her specifically. It was this is fashion advice. Don't do this.
Pro tip. Don't wear jorts. Yeah. Okay. But so now when we talk about jorts, we're not talking just jean shorts. We're talking about like the longer ones, or are we talking just any type of jean shorts?
Anything that someone would call a jort.
Okay. So even overly anal people.
Yeah. Because like jeans that are shorts.
I specifically rocked the super long, the Kevin Smith ones, where it goes beyond the knee kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The exact fashion faux pas that people did not like.
Yeah.
They were comfortable as hell.
Well, so I like cargo shorts, but I'm apparently told those are also not fashionable.
As are apparently cargo pants.
Anything that's comfortable is not fashionable. But yeah. In like 10 years, it'll come back around and everyone will be like, cargo stuff is cool.
We're just cargo forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would snap Crocs out easily. I think Crocs are dumb and stupid. And yeah, they're just weird rubbery things that have no place in society. Although, have you seen like the metal Crocs and like Croc heels? And
like the metal like...
Yeah, they have like black, they're black Crocs, and then they have like studs and like chain and stuff.
Oh my God, that sounds terrible.
Like, I've seen it. Nothing has saved the Croc. It's just terrible in every iteration. Says the guy wearing like jorts.
Oh, well, you're not wearing jorts right now, so
I don't know if I. No,
that would have been awkward if you had snapped jorts while you were wearing them. That would have just put like weird mental images.
I think
in
that
my
would
head.
Have been a. That's a smooth move, though. I think that's a power move. If you're like, it has to be appropriate. I'm not going to do it in front of you, but like, if you're out, you're having a good time, and then watch this, boom, instant.
Boom, no pants.
No pants. And then everybody else, no pants as well.
Well, anyone wearing jorts.
Yes.
Like if you go to a jort party and just like...
A jort party. Well, the dress code to get in, you gotta wear some jort. Not even like 90s throwback. No, just jort party.
Jort party. You'll get caught up in the jort party. I don't know why I went to Crossfire, but...
I was listening to that episode today. I was very confused.
No, that was just random on my part.
So now we've gotten rid of the one nice thing that I don't mind getting rid of. Crocs. Sure, fuck Crocs.
Yeah, I've been giving you, like, ambivalent ones or things you like. I was going for two negatives that you both wanted to get rid of, so I'll have to tweak it and come up with something a little better.
You didn't know that secretly I was a jort lover.
Yeah, secret jort. I'm not going to say fetish. That would be weird. Although, I guess technically from the regular usage of the word before it became like a sexual thing, you would still be a fetish,
like,
right?
Enthusiast or like a...
Enthusiast, what? Maybe?
Yeah, a jort enthusiast, not a jort fetishist.
We prefer. I love those jorts.
Yes. The Jort Social Club.
Jort Social Club. Oh, God. The Secret Sobble Society and the Jort Social Club. Oh, we're coming up with all sorts of stuff today. All right. So for the first time in a couple weeks, we don't actually have any emails to go over. So
we scared them off,
I guess. Or maybe there just wasn't any ideas this week. But... if you have emails, this is the time that we would talk about them. If so, please send us an email at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. I will remind you again at the end of the episode. But it's makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Moving on. You had an assignment from last week.
Oh, we're starting right off with it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, we might as well start off with it, because it was a cliffhanger. I gave it at the end of the episode, and I'll get right into it.
I struggled with this one, so it's like the teacher's starting with the assignments already, and it's like, oh, crap, I'm still trying to write it. Okay.
So last week, I asked you, Harvey Z, what would be your perfect game? And it was a perfect video game, like not a...
board game or such things, like card game, yeah. This was really, really hard because I kept trying this assignment and I just kept creating video games that exist, because what you're asking me is create a video game
from scratch. Yeah.
And not like my ones to generate revenue, like my Plant Generator 3000 one, like something that I would enjoy.
Yeah. Something that, like, if it was announced at E3 next week, you would be like, I am buying some to get this game. If it is only on a system, I'm going to put down money for the system as well. Like, something so powerful that speaks directly to you that you're like, I cannot live without this game. This is a game that must be played by me.
That's not where I went at all.
Oh.
I didn't even think about, like, debuting this game at E3. So I went to, like, well, because I was like, oh, I want a game that spans, like, globally, and it's a tactical-based game, and it's, I get a team of troops, and they have to face an enemy, and then I was like, that's XCOM.
Yeah, you're playing XCOM.
And then I was like, maybe I want a chill hangout game with my bros, where it plays really cool music, and you just gently walk around, and there's some enemies and stuff, but it's just more goofy fun, and it's Toe Jam and Earl. So then it was like, well, what if I took the best parts of all the games I liked, and made a super game? A single game where I didn't need other games. A game to replace all games.
Okay, so you're like the one game to rule them all.
Yes, that is where my mind went.
Okay.
The problem is, like, what game would I don't like to play games a lot. What game would I be willing to play all the time? So first thing I was like, Toe Jammer, I need to have a good soundtrack. So we can just put that in the background. The game will have a bumping soundtrack.
All right. So for you, what is a bumping soundtrack?
Ooh, low bass groove. Like, I was just going to steal Toe Jam and Earl's. Like,
so just kind of funky, just kind of doot.
Toe Jam and Earl, the early, so the 90s XCOM background music. Like, I know in XCOM 2, one of my favorite features is you can play the old graphic, like, sound graphics. The old soundtracks, I always play that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's sort of like, maybe if it's synthesizer heavy, but it's like ambient. I don't know the word.
Ambiance.
The ambiance is like,
I think it's ambient and
ambiance.
Or maybe I'm just like making ambiance sound
but
cooler.
Like, there's going to be a cool vibe to it. Like, it's not intense, but like there could be intense moments when the game picks up. But otherwise, we're going with a funky.
So not an intrusive soundtrack, just kind of there, like the good compliment.
Not like a Madden soundtrack with like hip hop and rap and rock and lyrics and just music in there. I want just like something unintrusive in the background.
But still bumping.
Yes, bumping is the key adjective here.
Okay.
Mega Man, I don't find it as bumping music, so I wouldn't put it that style.
So you wouldn't want like chiptune music? Would you want slightly more orchestrated, like with actual like bass and drums and things like that?
I would prefer like an actual garage band or rock feel to it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Although, again, the XCOM one has like in their action sequence a really nice like chiptuned one.
Okay.
Maybe once in a while. Like,
but in general, it's more of a
mellow, you're chilling out. Something where I don't get, like, I could pause and listen to the music, but it's not something where I'm going to stop the action to just, oh, this is my favorite song, or it's like Grand Theft Auto. Let me just put the car radio on and listen to, like, Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Me Now. That's a
different song, but yes. That was my first thing. We're going to have a great soundtrack. Then the problem was, so then I was like, what if I just put Toe Jam and Earl soundtracks on the, like, games I like? Didn't work out because I just kept creating XCOM like over and over.
What we've learned here is Harvey Z really likes XCOM.
So then I went to what would I want to play all the time, because I don't always play XCOM all the time. I want a sim game.
Really?
I would like a sim game where, because The Sims I could waste hours on, but eventually I will stop playing it. But this is where we'll get to that hook.
Mm-hmm.
But The Sims is an easy game where you can build stuff. It's not like Sim City and stuff like that, but The Sims. So I was thinking in that style, where I get some characters, I get a neighborhood, I get to move my characters into the neighborhood, and like there's design options for me to build houses, but there's some pre-made houses. I can do stuff like the furniture and stuff, and like let them lead their lives with a bumping soundtrack.
Bumping soundtrack.
And so
and then aliens attack, and they get drafted into...
Just wait. So then it was, okay, well, I have the Sims game, but what got rid of the Sims? Like, the Sims, after a while, like, the creation part got boring. Either that or you filled up your neighborhood, you make all your friends, and then what do you do next? And, like, you could level them up and get them jobs and stuff, and, like, that was fine, but I couldn't replay Sims. How do I make the Sims replayable? And that's when I went to, like, how do I make it more XCOM-y?
Okay.
The way I went with was, so in my game, I would actually like, because again, I like single player games, so I was like, this has got to be a single player. If it's a multiplayer, it's got to be something where a buddy can play locally. I don't want like MMOs or stuff like that. So something that I can single player play, a Sims game, maybe add some turn-based strategy elements to The Sims, but then it's like, what? Like, do you go to the gym first and then do you take a shit? Or do you take a shit first and then do you go downstairs and make eggs? Like, how do you tactically make The Sims? You're puzzled. You're genuinely puzzled. But I was puzzled as well. It's a conundrum.
Tactical shitting? Like, is that what you're going for here?
Well, The Sims, I mean, that's one of the things you have to... Because you don't want your guy to, like, pass out on the floor or urinate himself. He gets all shamed and stuff. His little green triangle thing.
It would really suck if aliens attacked and your guy just started shitting himself.
And so, again, that is a tactical element that you have to consider if aliens did attack. Because now I have a neighborhood. What if things to grab my attention, things that are exciting, what if my characters played or were actually stars in their own video game world? Because those were the elements I wanted. Because what do I like in XCOM? I have soldiers. They have little stories and personal lives and stuff.
Right.
But what do they do when they go home?
That's so is this like XCOM Home Life? Is that what's going on?
It sort of went that route, except I expanded it to be even bigger than that. But yes, so the people who live in my neighborhood, maybe they're paramilitary, perhaps they're soldiers, perhaps they work for an XCOM defense agency as they're leveling up jobs. So I need to make sure my soldiers are healthy, they have comfortable living situations, they go to the bathroom before work, and those are things that I need to do. Should they not do well, stuff is going to happen in the neighborhood. Because if the world is going to hell because XCOM's not doing their job, because Dan didn't take a shit the right way, and then he went to fight aliens, and he wasn't there, and then all of his troops died, and he had a TPK, that's a big deal. Dan's got to have a good home life. Maybe Dan's bros are, like, too loud and stuff. Maybe.
So are you also playing the missions where they fuck up and shit themselves, or...
I thought about it, and the answer is... Yes.
Okay.
What I did, though, was I was like, so this is too XCOM-y. What other games do I enjoy?
Right.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have some sword people in there now.
Ah, so it's not just... It's...
Yeah. I can... And so I was like, oh, I can play with this. The Sims has different expansions and stuff. I just want my action hero video game characters to live in a neighborhood. I get to design their houses, and I can put them together.
You get to customize them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so their costumes and stuff, and maybe I want my XCOM guy to have, like, the outfit from Final Fantasy Tactics Mages, and he has a floppy hat and everything.
So essentially what you're saying is, you've revamped the XCOM over, God, what do they call it? The Geoscape.
Yeah.
So instead of you're managing, like, where to build, like, all the important things, you're, like, managing Fort XCOM, where all your soldiers are living with their families, and like...
That's basically it, except it's not just XCOM, so I want to have, like, D&D people in my world, or, right, like, RPG.
So it's not just... But, yeah. Like, so the general
So I have
idea.
A night elf there who needs to also make sure he's doing his job, he's pumping up and everything, because he's got to explore, like, the mines of Philandriel in the morning, and he's got to go do that stuff. And so these characters, I imagine, will go
and
to their
what
work.
Happens if Jonathan the dwarf accidentally cheats on his wife with Ethan the elf's wife, and then they find out mid-battle while they're exploring these mines, suddenly it's all chaos because these two don't want to work with each other anymore.
And what's my favorite part of XCOM? Creating little stories for my characters that have no stories other than on the battlefield. Here, I can watch the stories unfold.
Oh, yeah. You get to watch the dwarf and the elf argue when they come home at night. Yes. And the wives are like, what's going on?
And they're splitting the loot and they're trying to figure this out. And then suddenly, like, Jonathan the dwarf buys, like, an Xbox game and stuff. And then the other elf is like, you're playing that too late. And it just, the potential is there. And then I was like, well, other games I like, Streets of Rage, I can have the cops and stuff. And then the key thing is, what if this was just a hub for where, if I wanted to follow them into their game, I could.
So that's actually pretty neat. It's not even like one scenario. It's like the XCOM and the elves and like the Streets of Rage people.
All
and
in the neighborhood.
Toe Jam, just kind of all in the same neighborhood interacting with each other.
And like you got to do
your... It's like the station in Wreck-It Ralph, sort of, where you get like all the game characters together.
Because the way I was thinking of it is this, like video game saves back in the day on like my PlayStation and stuff, you'd have little icons and you could see them even when you're in another game and it would still recognize like, oh, this is the medieval like
right,
one.
Right, yeah.
And like, what if this was your save point? Was your save point was a little city filled with characters that you got from the games themselves? And if you wanted to, because now apparently like PlayStations and stuff like that, all the games are on the machine itself. I feel so old describing this to like T-Man, but like they're in there. So like if you wanted to launch your Spider-Man game, you just find your Spider-Man character, make sure he's well-groomed and like ready to go and has his green bar, and you can send him into the game and then you play Spider-Man. But you could also play it a little bit harder. Maybe he's rushed. He doesn't get to do everything. He didn't brush his teeth. He's smelling a little. So his bar is a little bit lower. So when you play the game, you're going to have a harder experience.
Interesting.
So my game was actually a hub. And then maybe it bleeds over into the city. So like XCOM, your game is going real shitty. Suddenly aliens are popping up in your neighborhood. And that's where the fun is. Your Streets of Rage guy can like go beat up some aliens on the streets now. Because you got to protect yourself.
But then he's tired when he goes to his actual game because he's fighting aliens in the hub world instead.
And so what he's got to do is you've got to start playing XCOM more. And that's incentivizing you to stop the aliens so that your town is actually protected.
But all this is in the actual game. You're not actually playing XCOM, right?
So that's where, as the hub, you could actually go and... So that's where I was torn, because I can't make a super game that's every game in the game.
Right.
But, like, it launches into XCOM, and, like, so your characters are customized and carried over, but, like, you need to do well in that game.
Okay.
Is that, because I thought it would be cheating just to have, like, all the games are in there, and, like oh,
I was with you when it was, like, generic. Like, when it's, like, you've got, like, fantasy people going into fantasy games, and XCOM people going into XCOM-y games, like,
but science, I wanted sci-fi. You to be able to play the fantasy games and the fantasy.
But, like, and then you're, like, well, when you play those games, it's, like, the tactical thing. So, like, one will be, like, swords and magic, and one will be, like, guns and aliens, and one will be, like, a beat-em-up.
But it wouldn't be, like, a full XCOM game in there. It would be, like, a couple levels of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm up with you up into that. I'm less with you when it's, like, Spider-Man hangs out because you have a Spider-Man save. Like, that logistically starts...
See, that's where I began to be like, though, that's where the monetization comes in, though. Because if this is my game, other game developers are going to want to put their characters into my game, because the only thing the only thing I'm playing is my hub game. So everybody else, if you want me to play your games, insert it into mine.
I think you'd be paying them. I think it would be licensing for you to license the characters to put into your game.
See, I'm just like, my game would be so good that I'm not going to play your game unless you incentivize me to.
Your game is literally Spider-Man Sims mod.
Yeah, I could have my generic wizard just wear a Spider-Man costume, and I'm like, there he is. He casts, like, web. Boom.
I like the idea, though. It has potential. I like where your mind went with it.
It was because otherwise I was just like, I keep creating XCOM. And then I was like, what if I created XCOM with Civ 6 on top of it? And then I was like, what the hell is that? It's just... I'm managing the economy, which I'm doing in XCOM anyway. And so I was trying to figure out, like, how to smash all my games together. This is what I came up with.
I like it. I would be interested to see a similar game to that and how well it would do. Because a lot of people like The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And having that extra element of, like, random video game characters, like a Wreck-It Ralph scenario, seems like it would be cool.
Like, more suited towards adults as opposed to, like, Wreck-It Ralph might feel too kiddie. But then it also has, like... Minecraft elements where you could, like, shape the ground and stuff like that. Like, I just, maybe there's a farm for a Stardew Valley type of game. Like, you could add a lot to it if I had to make it generic, though. You can only have a few levels, I feel like.
Yeah. Super game.
Harvey Z's Hub.
Harvey Z's Hub. Is that the
Hub game?
That's the title?
Maybe, like, there's a space station above and you can have a space elevator, and so you could have, like, space games up there and stuff.
Space games. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I was winging it there. That was, like, my idea. It was all I had was, like, the hub idea.
Next assignment you get, I'll give you a little more grounded and a little more rules to follow. Because that was a little too much for you.
It was, because again, like, the perfect game, I have perfect games. Yeah. It was just, what would make me play the perfect game more?
Yeah. I'm not going to go in too much into my perfect game, because this was more of, I wanted to get your perspective. But... I really want, like, I love customization, and I especially love customization, not just in, like, creating characters, but classes and what characters can do. So I would really love it, like, something in the XCOM tactical style, but just balls to the wall, like, there's, like, 100 different classes, and each one does, like, random shit, and it's, like, basically infinite replayability, because, like, you get, like, a necromancer or, like, a guy that, like, you know, psychic guy. Like, imagine all every different type of Pokemon, like, having, like, different powers and stuff, or, like, classes that you can upgrade and, like, different skill trees. So if you gave me something like that, where it's just, like, the more classes there are, the better, and, like, every time I play, I get to be something different, I would really be into that.
For me, like, the game that falls into that category, the first game that ever, like, showed me that potential, Final Fantasy Tactics.
I mean, imagining
even bigger than
this. Yeah, even more than that. But, like, Final Fantasy Tactics is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, just blow it up. Just all sorts of classes. Like, don't give me this stupid warrior, mage, rogue, that's all, the only three you can do sort of shit. Give me... like, shit no one's ever heard of. Like, Chronomancer, where the guy can, like, rewind time. Or, you know, I don't know. Robot with four arms that can, you know, juggle and like has four like attack four I different
was,
attacks.
I was and... with you until you went to juggle. And then I was like, wait, like he was badass until wait, juggle.
Okay. He has his specialties, or is that he can do one different thing with each arm, and also, or like a General Grievous where he's like swinging a whole bunch of swords if he wants to.
And then let me see what he does at home.
Well, on that note, we'll move on to some actual news. It's, as I said last week, we're ramping up to E3. I think the official press conferences and everything start this upcoming weekend, so it'll have already happened by the time this comes out. It's Saturday, I think they start Saturday the 8th and go through Tuesday morning the 11th. So those are the official press conference times, but stuff has already been coming out.
And is this like a convention where people can go and play games and stuff, or it's all just news release?
I mean, so there's 3 to 4 days of like these press conferences that are just basically announcements that the press can go into, and they're streamed as well, so audience can go on. And then there's like a 3 to 4 day floor show. Up until recently, it has only been for press, but I think 2 years ago was the first time they actually opened that up to fan tickets.
Because so, I think is I was gonna.
Okay. I went last year.
I was gonna ask you, didn't you go to this thing?
Yeah, I went last year and it was really fun. The lines were long. I don't think there were a lot of panels. Like, unlike cons like PAX or RTX or things like that, where there's like a lot of panels and people talking and things like that, there weren't that at E3 because it's an expo. So essentially you're either standing in line to play games or watching demos of games or things like that. You don't get there isn't a lot of the, this is where people talk to other people. It is showing off new tech, showing off the new games, getting people to buy stuff.
Does it feel kind of corporate or like kind of
a little more corporate than other cons like PAX, but still, though last year it was pretty friendly to like fans and things like that. It was not, it didn't have like a corporate feel to it, but it definitely isn't, like I said, like a convention where like people are hanging out and cosplay. There are obviously cosplay people there anyway, but it's much more business oriented.
That's where I was like, is it more advertising heavy or getting you to like see the new products basically?
Yeah. And so because of this, because E3 is next week and upcoming, like a lot of developers are getting ahead of the train and announcing stuff already, that getting their announcements out now, so, and then people like next week will be able to play it at E3 on the show floor. So today, Google announced a lot of the specs on their new streaming game thing called Stadia. Now, I don't remember. Did we talk about Stadia on the podcast yet?
I remember the Ratchet thing or the Clank, like the...
That's Playdate, and that's completely different. Okay, so they announced this a couple months ago, and I couldn't remember if we ever actually got to it on the podcast. Google Stadia is Google's, their entrance into the gaming world. It's essentially an all streaming service. So it's Netflix for games in a way.
Oh, so not streaming as in you stream the games you're playing, but streaming to get games.
Yeah, it's you don't have, you're not downloading anything. Well, you're downloading the stream, but like just like Netflix plays, like you don't actually
own the games
or anything. So today they released a lot of the specs for it, which is what people were waiting on. And it's like, it's not, you're going to need really good internet to do this correctly. Like you need 10 megabytes per second for like the minimum. And they recommend 35 megabytes per second for like the high speed maximum 4K, 1080p, or not 4K, 60 FPS 4K.
What does that translate to someone who doesn't know like their internet speed? Do I have that?
Not a lot of people have that. And if they do have it, it's unstable. Here, I'm going to do a real quick. What's my internet speed?
Yeah. You're a gamer. You should. This would be marketed towards you. Can you play stuff on this?
So I am checking my internet speed on speedtest.net. And it is telling me that right now my download speed is...
The fact that you have to wait for it.
Oh, wow. This is better than I expected it to be.
High roller?
Apparently I'm a high roller, but this was literally not at all what I was expecting.
35?
No, my download speed is 95 and my upload is 90. So apparently I have pretty good internet. I did not know this.
Do you pay extra or something, or you just bought like your typical...
I think I just have a regular high-speed internet package. Like, it's not like super premium or anything like that.
Does that make the Google thing more appealing?
Not really, no. For me, like, it's all about... I like owning games, mm-hmm. and this is not... This is like the opposite of owning anything. So Google right now has one exclusive game that they've announced, and everything else is like games that are already out that people could have played already in another fashion.
Does this service exist? Like, does anyone stream games right now? Is it like
no? This is a brand new foray sort of thing. Like, okay. Google has its. This is definitely a new thing, and the idea with them is that you can play it anywhere. So right now, so the package that they're selling is a Chromecast and a controller. And like the Chromecast will have Stadia on it and you can just plug it into your TV and like take it with you as long as you have internet. Yeah, so the internet speeds minimum is 10 megabytes per second and that gets you 720p, 60 FPS. And then 35 megabytes per second is 4K, 60 FPS with surround sound. Now that is obviously not great for everyone. Like, I was surprised because my internet likes to be shitty, so maybe I just caught it on a good day. I've definitely had problems with my internet and Wi-Fi and all that stuff. But what I saw that really turned me off toward it was that if you play, I think it was 65 hours of gaming in a month will take about a terabyte of data on your internet. And so with data caps and things like that, which are very prominent in the US, that would get real expensive real fast. So it's not just the speed, but it's also the amount of data that is going to be downloaded.
Ooh, I'm thinking about that whole like the whole internet controversy that came up like a year or two ago with it. Is Google trying to profit from that? Or do we think that, well, Google would see that as a problem and fight to then we want to have that no data caps and all that stuff?
I mean, it's plausible, but since Google has their own internet now, like, they could do whatever they wanted. Like, if you have Google Fiber and they can charge you whatever they want, like, you want to play more games? Pay for the good package.
So it doesn't become Google as an ally, it becomes Google as a corporate entity of like, oh, I'm sorry, you're suffering. Buy our product and you won't suffer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of this. I know a lot of people are excited. I don't see the market for it, honestly. Like, they seem to be trying to get into the casual market where, like, you can use Stadia anywhere. Like, you can use it in any Chrome browser. So you can use it on a Chromebook. You can use it on, you know, an iPad. You can use it on Chromecast.
But then you'd have to carry around your joystick or you... Yeah, it's different to play on a laptop than a PC, than a gaming system.
Right. And on top of that, it's just... There isn't going to be anyone that isn't already an enthusiast, I don't think, that would want this. Like, if they're aiming for, like, that casual market, I don't know. I don't think
they'll... Like me, then.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you, as a casual person, would want this, especially because it's like $10 a month subscription service.
Oh, okay.
On top of that, you're going to have to pay for the new games. Like, you get older games for free with the subscription, but you still have to pay on top of that for the new games.
So it's not quite like Netflix.
No, it's not. Because, like, from a third-party standpoint, why would you put your $60 game that you're asking for on every other platform for free on Stadia and not got any profit off of it? Like, it doesn't make sense from...
Are they looking at like, oh, well, this was what MP3s went down, or the future of like Apple Music and stuff, and they're getting rid of iTunes?
I think it is definitely this is kind of the future move on their part. Again, I think in general, internet speeds are not as prevalent for everyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's hopeful, and this is like an sort of like VR right now is kind of an upper class, middle to upper class thing, or like a enthusiast item. I am down on it more than other people because obviously I am a Luddite, old school. I like owning my shit.
Because as soon as you said, like I agree with you, I like possessing physical copies of things and such. I found it is more convenient, like, to have, like, Apple Music and stuff where it's like, but I have all these old CDs, and but I think we're of a different generation then.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see how it is. I was skeptical of Microsoft when they brought the Xbox around and they entered the gaming stratosphere. So, and they still did fine. So we'll see what Google does. Yeah, that's all the information I got.
If it takes off, do you think the other, like, Microsoft and, like, Sony and stuff will...
I think Microsoft already has a plan for some similar service with Xbox. I think they're calling it xCloud, but I don't know if that's just, like, a placeholder name. Mm-hmm. But there are rumors going around that at E3, Microsoft is going to announce a similar thing to Google's. So we'll see.
Does it seem like at E3 they announce video games more, or do they announce, like, hardware and, like, stuff like that more? Like, systems?
They do both. I'm not expecting to see any next generation, like, console announcements at this E3. Might come next E3 for, like, fall 2020 release. But we'll see. It's usually a mix of both. They tend to focus more on software to get the general public. Mm-hmm. But they also like to talk about, like, new hardware projects or things like that. I think the Kinect was announced at E3, but don't take my word for it. That was, like... you know, when the Wii was popular and all that stuff. So another announcement that came today that isn't related to E3, but people are kind of treating it as an announcement because it's a big deal. So earlier today, Kotaku reported that Blizzard had canceled a game that was 2 years into development, and it was going to be a StarCraft first-person shooter that was similar in style to, like, Battlefield or Battlefront or Call of Duty. Like, essentially, they were making a StarCraft first-person shooter.
I was, like, torn on it, and then I was like, wait, there's a lot of people who love StarCraft, but would they like first-person shooter versions of it?
I think a while ago, there was a project called StarCraft Ghost, which was a third-person shooter, and that got canceled as well. And a lot of people are just excited, were excited to see something else in the StarCraft universe. And so this is like a double hurt to that because that's the second time a spinoff has been canceled. And what Kotaku reported on was that it was canceled in favor. Nobody got like laid off or anything because of this cancellation. What they said was it was to get those people more focused. They moved them to Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2.
I was wondering, is there ever going to be an Overwatch 2? Because you should just keep expanding to Overwatch 1, right?
Right. So when they announced and came out with Overwatch, one of the things they said was is that there's not going to be any paid expansions for it. All updates and new heroes and new maps and everything will be free. So that way the player base isn't split and people can safely invest their money in it and not worry about having to keep upgrading and things like that. And a sequel obviously gets around that in a loophole-ish kind of way. But the rumor that the Kotaku reporter, Jason Schreier, said was that this expansion or sequel or whatever it is much more focused on PvE.
Player versus everything?
Player versus enemy. PvP is player versus player. PvE is player versus enemy. So therefore, it's, you know, against AI, things like that.
Like a single-player game?
So they say... The comparison they made was to Left 4 Dead. So it'll be like sort of like a co-op Overwatch, like through different modes. And the way, from what I understand, like they haven't done big PvE stuff aside from like specific events in base Overwatch because the engine they're using or whatever does not really go well with PvE style things. Like it's based around the multiplayer aspect, which... An Overwatch is supposed to be a multiplayer game makes sense. So a sequel or whatever they're coming out with that has a slightly different engine that is better suited for co-op player versus enemy makes a little more sense than a straight up Overwatch 2 that suddenly makes everyone have to upgrade to the new game and everyone kind of being like, well, wait, what about all my stuff that I've unlocked? So it'll be interesting to see, especially because like next gen consoles are coming out probably next year. And as I've already speculated on Twitter, it makes sense for them to release a updated Overwatch or new Overwatch or whatever for next gen consoles, so for like people who are moving on to the new gen. So we'll see. I mean, they've invested so much in Overwatch League at this point that like they can't do too much, otherwise they'll split the pros, you know. I don't know.
That's what I was wondering was like, if you have a whole sports thing built around this, you can't really upgrade the game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. The article says they're thinking that Diablo 4 and whatever this Overwatch 2 thing is will be announced at this year's BlizzCon, which isn't until November. So we'll see if they, at that point, we'll get more information since this is kind of a leak. But the fact that all the fans are talking about it right now might pressure Blizzard into announcing details sooner so people don't start panicking. Because, again, Overwatch and Overwatch League is a lot of money for them. They don't want fans to, like, I'm not going to play anymore because if we're moving on to Overwatch 2, like, right. So I think we'll see. Overwatch League, by the way, Stage 3 starts today as we're recording this.
How is the Justice doing?
They have won 2 games now instead of just one.
So they've won one more since last time.
Yes.
I was like,
they've won 1 game per stage so far.
All right. We're
not the worst team in the league. That's and we've yet to go 0-7, which several other teams have done this season. So we're not completely. And we beat a semi-decent team as well. We didn't just beat another shitty team. So, you know. We didn't have any. I was hoping to see a couple big moves during the All-Star break, but they didn't make any moves. So we'll see what their plan is going into Stage 3.
Can we make the finals?
No. We'd have to basically be perfect from here on out. And so I guess there's a chance, but it's very, very unlikely.
Don't let me down, team.
It's the DC team. Of course they're going to let you down. All right, so speaking of, I don't know, letting you down? I don't know where I was going with that. In my head, I was like, speaking of Sobble, which was 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, you can't use an old transition for a recent. That's not how transitions work. That's not even a callback.
Yeah, no, that was just my mind going blank. They announced a new Pokemon news yesterday.
I think I heard about this.
I mean, that's probably why you saw Sobble on my feed, because I was talking about new stuff that they had released and everything. So they announced a couple new Pokemon. Wooloo. Yeah.
That's all I know. It's Wooloo.
Yeah, there's a sheep called Wooloo, which I'm actually not sure if it's supposed to be pronounced Wooloo or Wooloo, but I am totally calling it Wooloo.
Wooloo, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, wool is sheep, you know.
Like, oh.
Wooloo?
No, fuck yeah, that. Like, it's Wooloo. Wooloo.
Yeah, it has to be Wooloo. And so.
So it's Wooloo, a Pokemon. It's not just like sheep that happens to be in the game.
No, it's Wooloo, the Pokemon that's a sheep Pokemon. And everyone loves it, and it's small and adorable and fluffy, and I want one.
I imagined it was like huge, actually. Like, I was thinking like Snorlax sized.
Well, so speaking of huge, I got a transition that time. One of the things that they new features is something called Dynamax, where you can basically make your Pokemon gigantic. It's like Rita Repulsa, Power Ranger, make my Pokemon grow sort of shit.
Like in the middle of a battle or something? Yeah. Has Pokemon changed since like the 2D screens?
Obviously.
All right, so now you would. Like
I don't know many more details other than that, but there was like a gigantic Raichu and like gigantic Gyarados, and they're just like kaiju Pokemon, essentially how big they are, and you can like fight each other, and there's like going to be like multiplayer raid battles where Pokemon trainers can get together to fight a gigantic Pokemon or something. I don't know. Anyway, but a lot of people were making jokes about the Dynamax stuff. you know, so like they would take like a Pokemon and do Dynamax and then show something else.
The Butterfree Mothra.
Butterfree into Mothra was one that I came up with. There was a lot of jokes about that.
Then this is me then asking, like, is this a real thing? There seemed to be a lot of tweets yesterday about like dogs with swords in their mouths.
Yes. So they, as per usual, they revealed the legendaries that go with each version. And since the upcoming Pokemon, which is going to be out in November, they announced the release date as well as one of the things. Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. And the legendary Pokemon is a dog with a sword and a dog that has like a shield as its fur. Like those are the legendary Pokemon that go with the...
Dog with a sword made sense to me. I was like, I get this. I understand where they're coming from. Dog with a shield, I got confused now.
The shield is it's not dog with a shield. It's a dog that's like the shield is part of its body.
So it's an armored dog.
Sort of. Like not really. It looks like it's more like its fur. Dog with a sword is definitely the better one.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be straight up. Dog with a sword is always better. But there's been a lot of memes about that because there have been plenty of games already with dogs with swords.
I didn't realize how many. That's why I was just like, why is this is fascinating, but why?
And then there's just like random pictures on the internet of dogs with knives and like dogs with their heads stuck in like cardboard or something like that.
So there was one where I was just really, I just want to pull up like Twitter now and be like, is this real? Is this from a game? Like, I know the Dark Souls has one.
Right.
That, I think, is the coolest one, I think. It's like a giant wolf.
Yeah, a Great Wolf Sif. Yes. It's like a giant wolf with a sword.
So now, there was one where someone tweeted out pictures of dogs with, like, knives and such. Then there's another screen below it, and there's, like, a dog with, like, a muzzle and a little knife sticking out of it. What fucking game is that from?
It was, like, a game screenshot.
It was a game screenshot. So.
It might have been from Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, you can get a dog in that, and he carries a knife around, I think. I think that might be the one you're thinking
of. Because it's a muzzle with a little... I'm like, the dog doesn't... It's not biting the knife. So I'm like, does he stab with, like, swinging motions in his head? Like, who put the knife on this dog? Like, the other ones look like the dog is trained in the art of sword fighting. That one, it was just someone stuck a knife on the side of a dog's head. Then why not put the knife on top of the head so it can stab upwards or thrust? This was on the side.
Is it here? Yeah, let me see if I can rotate it. Is it this one?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the Metal Gear Solid one. Yeah. So it's just you can equip it, and so now he can attack people with a knife.
It just seemed like I was like maybe this is real, and I was like, no, it looks like a video game. I can't tell.
It's definitely a video game.
But it's so dumb, the practicality. They should have put the knife on top of his head like a unicorn.
I mean, if you're going to strap it to him, right?
Then he just runs out at somebody and like, dives into them. Yeah, this one, the dog has to like do this weird like head swinging motion to like stab some. The dog is already going to bite somebody.
Why? But he can also defend, like he can, you know.
Then he needs a shield.
You're funny. So let's see, what else? There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. We covered I think that was all the big Pokemon stuff, aside from, you know, more sobbing. Oh, they announced Darksiders Genesis today, which is a point of conflict for me because it's published by THQ Nordic, which did that really shitty stuff a while back. But I really love the Darksiders series, so it's like it's a spinoff. It's going to be like a Diablo-esque, like, top-down action game, RPG.
I don't know what Darksiders, I think.
Darksiders is the Four Horsemen. First one you play is War, second one you play is Death, and then they've replaced Pestilence or Famine and, I guess, Conquest / Pestilence with Strife and Fury. Fury was Darksiders 3, which just came out last year. It was kind of an okay game. And now this one is going to be a prequel that is Strife and War, and it's like an ARPG top-down Diablo-esque sort of action game.
Are the other games different styles?
So the first Darksiders got a lot of good reviews because it was basically a goth Zelda. Like it had a lot, it was action-oriented, but like it had dungeons like Zelda did where you would get an item and then like use the item to get through the dungeon. Darksiders 2 kept a little bit of the Zelda stuff, but became more of a loot game. Like you could get like a ton of different types of weapons, and like they give you different power boosts and things like that. Then Darksiders 3 was much more in the vein of like the Dark Souls games, mm-hmm. very similar, like you die but you have to, and you can go back and find your souls if you once you're dead, sort of mechanic with a little bit of the Zelda stuff again. And then this one is supposed to be a spin-off. It's not even supposed to be like considered like the fourth game or anything like that. They've clarified that several times. Like, this is not Darksiders 4. This is a spin-off. So
we really have to clarify. This is not the fourth game. This is just a...
I mean, all the other games have been like third-person action, and this is like a top-down isometric okay. sort of thing.
So like people don't go in expecting to buy what they're getting from the 1 through 3.
Exactly. So I like, it looks interesting to me. Like, I kind of like it, want it.
Because
so
I now like your values are actually being
yeah,
tested.
Yeah, it's another one of those like moral test things where I don't know what I'm going to do yet. But thankfully, there isn't a release date on it or anything. So I'm not going to spend too much time agonizing. I'll agonize once it actually comes to fruition. But we'll see. Maybe they'll apologize or like do something.
Would that be enough for you?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. like the fact that they didn't act at all is my biggest gripe right now. Like they just kind of did like a whoopsie, oh well, you know, and just moved on. A non-apology in the form of an apology would have probably been worse, but the just ignoring it was
even worse.
Like it's right above a non-apology as an apology. So I don't know. It will. My personal moral values, you know, it's starting to get real hard to, like, support anyone at this point. Mm-hmm. You've got to pick and choose, like, what to be angry about, I think. I've learned as a lesson is you can't be angry at everyone because nobody is, like, if you...
This is the quote I always like to say from Batman that I fuck up.
You live long enough to... Yeah. It's either die one. A hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Another brief thing that I'm not super interested in, but is an announcement. Destiny 2 is, like, I think it's going free to play. So, like, the first year of content essentially going to be free, and then the expansions are going to cost you money. And it's going to be cross-save so you can play on any platform. So, like, people who have been on the PS4 can now play with their PC friends, things like that. And it's not going to be on Battle.net anymore because Bungie split with Activision. It's going to be on Steam and all that sort of stuff. And the new expansion comes out this fall. And that's like the time when all this stuff is going to happen. Like when the new expansion releases, everything activates and like all this new stuff is going to be cool. So a lot of people that are into Destiny are very excited about that. But I have not really gotten into it or play with people. Overwatch is my play with people game, I guess. So yeah, I think that's all the big announcements I have right now. Obviously by this time next week, I'm going to have a whole bunch more. Next week is just going to be E3, 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 E3.
So next week is the E3 special?
Yeah. Because all the conferences will be over with. So I'll go down my list of my highlights and, what I liked, what, you know, what came across as good to me, what I think you might like, and so on.
And then once that week is over, is there any more to E3, or that's like once?
I mean, it's basically this next coming week is, by the time this comes out, it's the week currently happening is E3 week, and then that's it.
So. Got it.
We're going to end again. I have my segment I wanted to start doing at the end, which is, you know, T-Man's game of the week that he wants to spotlight. I'm talking in third person now. T-Man has a game for you. Are you ready for it?
This is how Harvey Z started, and that's Harvey Z approves.
So this week I want to talk about a random game that's been on my mind. It's for the original Nintendo, and it's called Rockin' Cats. And it's a game that not a lot of people have heard of, and it came to mind this week because I happened to be at a used bookstore, and they have games, and something that I owned that I like is somewhere like buried in my parents' house in like old games was like worth $80 or something, and I was like, I was surprised. And then I started looking up random other stuff that I know I have, and apparently Rockin' Cats is so rare, I could trade it in and get like $130 for like this single NES game, but I would never do that because it's like one of my favorite games.
$130, sir. That's like,
well, you can't get it anywhere else. Like, because of fucking Nintendo's anal, you know, releasing of their old games and the fact that they shut down all emulation and stuff like that. Like, I can't. I guess I can find an emulator and play it, but that's it. Like, I'm never going to be able to repurchase it on a PS4.
But are you ever going to play this game?
I mean, once I have a place where I can rehook up my Nintendo, I would probably play it again. It's one of my top games of all time. Like, as a kid, it was my favorite game. Like,
Rocket Cats.
Rockin' Cats. Oh. Rockin' Cats.
Now I don't even know what, like, Rocket Cats, I was like, cats in space. Okay, I get it. You're flying spaceships. What the hell is Rocking Cats doing?
I mean, it's this awesome game that feels like it was, like, based off of another property, but it's not. Like, the levels are set up as, like, TV episodes. So, like, you're on, like, a TV station on the menu, and, like, you choose channel 1 or channel 2, and you played, like, through different scenarios. And in every scenario, I can't remember the cat's name, but, like, your girlfriend gets kidnapped by Muggsy, which is this, like, bulldog guy. Yeah. And so the girlfriend cat gets kidnapped, and so you're this cool... Everything has, like, a 1920s, 1930s, like, gangster feel.
Okay.
Like, all the dogs are wearing, like, those, like, the what are the hats called? Bowler hats?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Bowler hats.
Yeah. And so, like, and the music is kind of, like, hip and jazzy and that sort of thing.
Okay.
All the bosses are, like, the first boss you fight is, like, the big bowl band, I want to say. And it's just, like, these guys, the singing, and, like, there's two guys on drums and a singer.
This is a Nintendo game.
Yeah, it's a Nintendo game. It's amazing. Like, the main way you get around is you have, like, this extendo fist thing that you punch people with, mm-hmm. and you can upgrade it so it can, like, it sticks to things or, like, turns into a spike and does more damage or, like, shoots little balls out. And
so customization.
Yeah, a little bit of customization. And you, like, if you hold down the button, like, it turns into a hand and you can, like, catch falling things and then throw them at enemies. And you can...
Is this a side-scroller?
Yeah, it's a side-scroller platformer, and you can use the glove to, like, attach to platforms and, like, swing yourself around, and so there's, like, a little bit of physics where you're, like, swinging around, you have to plan your arc to, like, jump across bottomless pits and things like that. It's an amazing game. I love it. It's one of those things that, like, I would never say it's a classic game in the sense of, like, everyone should play this, and because this is what a game should be, you know, things like, mm-hmm. like Chrono Trigger, I'll go to bat for Final Fantasy VI, those sorts of games where this is a good game. Rockin' Cats is a game that I have a special place in my heart for. You know, it's one of those games that, like, as an adult, I have to be very specific. Like, I consume a lot of gaming material, and so, like, there are so many games that just, like, fall through the cracks for me that I'll never get, that, like, mm-hmm. it's because there's just so much stuff. Well, as a kid, you kind of just play whatever you get, and somehow I don't know how I ended up with Rockin' Cats, if my parents gave it to me for my birthday or what, but it showed up, it fell in my lap, and I love that game. And that's all I can say about it. Like, I've been thinking about it because of just thinking about, like, old games and what they're worth to me, and, like, is this worth $120 to might maybe never be able to play it again? And the answer is no. I like that game too much.
Wow. That's like two PlayStation games. That's a significant amount of money, sir.
Yeah, it is. But Rockin' Cats. If you've got a way to play it, check it out. It's fun. One of the highlights of my younger gaming life was actually finishing that game and beating the boss.
Oh, you
so
beat it.
Yeah, I've actually beaten it. All right, well, that's where we'll end. We'll end on Rockin' Cats.
I like that you recommended a game that almost no one can play. It is the most hipster thing.
Okay, emulating is technically illegal, but I'm sure if you want to play it, you can find a ROM of Rockin' Cats somewhere. I do not endorse doing this in public, but I will fight for emulation rights to not be, like, illegal, whatever, because we need game preservation. We need, like, a game like Rockin' Cats will go away and no one will ever be able to play it again because people are dicks and like don't want to preserve this sort of thing. They'd rather like squash people because they can make $5 off of Super Mario Brothers on the Wii for a fifth time. Sorry. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
They can find me at Twitter, on Twitter, at the Z is silent, T-H-A, Z is silent.
That was a roundabout way. That seemed a little like you were struggling.
I was trying to think of, do I spell the rest of it? And then I was like, I think they can figure out, is silent.
You can find me on Twitter at Team Man Plays Games. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. As I said earlier, you can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find my writings when I have the time to do them at tmanwrites.com. Next week is E3. Be prepared for E3 blowout and probably a lot of talking about what's to come for the remainder of the year, because this is when they're going to announce everything that's coming out in the second half and fall, the big, big rush of games. Any last words, Harvey Z?
Wooloo.
Wooloo.
It's coming from, it's too much of a story. What's the video game that we used to play? Age of Mythologies?
Age of Mythology, yeah.
There's a character on it that just
I think it's from Age of Empires, not Age of Mythology. But yeah, there's like a Wooloo character.
Wooloo. Yeah. It's just like you click on a guy and it's like Zug.
Wooloo.
Okay, I never clicked on him that much.